Welcome back to Prophecy Today. David Dolan standing by. We're going to receive from him his Middle East news update. This is an essential part of our listening to information coming out of that part of the world. I don't know a man with greater insight. He's served as a journalist for over 35 years in that very key location as it relates to the future, the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. David, a number of items to get to today in our conversation. Number one, Mossad has made the statement, and the chief of Mossad, basically hardly ever public, has come out and said, we have eyes and ears in Iran. In light of the situation going on with the demonstrations in Iran, the possibility of a revolutionary overthrow of the Ayatollahs, Mossad is on top of it. Israel is watching this very closely, are they not?
They are, Jimmy, and Israel has the great advantage of having ethnic communities, Jewish communities, all over the world, basically, and Jews have moved to Israel from Iran. Many have over the years, of course, from the Arab countries as well. So the Mossad has a natural pool of people that it could use to essentially spy on countries. However, we're probably also talking about non-human versions, drones and other methods that Israel's developed that can scoot in and out of countries, often unnoticed. So they certainly are keeping a close watch on things and will continue to do that and are expecting to see more trouble ahead from what I'm hearing. They do believe there's a genuine revolution happening in Iran, or at least the potential for that. The people really want to change, especially the young people. So we'll see what happens, but Israel's keeping its eyes on it.
And on top of what they may do, a preemptive strike could be a possibility if they get a nuclear weapon and try to fire it off before they bring stability to their country. We'll watch this closely. I would imagine they're watching the Sinai as well. Islamic State almost thrown completely out of Iraq, out of Syria. Now they seem to be focusing on the Sinai, the desert between Israel and Egypt. And they're making a statement, Islamic State putting out information they've declared war on Hamas. Now, I'm sure Israel is standing by. This is a win-win situation, one terror organization going after another. What's the latest on that?
Well, once again, the Israelis keep a close watch on that. The Sinai is very close to Eilat and some Israeli community of Be'er Sheva and other communities in the south of Israel. Jimmy, there's a report that actually Israeli drones have been active in the Sinai and have been going after some of these groups there. Of course, we have reports from Syria that two Russian bases were attacked by 13 drones last Saturday. They said they shot down half of them and the others didn't succeed in carrying out any attacks. They're blaming another country. They're not saying Israel, but they're implying that it was a country that has satellite capability, possibly the United States. The U.S. has denied any involvement, and Israel has as well. There's no reason that Israel would be so provocative against Russia, but against Islamic State and the terror groups that are opposing Israel, there's every reason to think that the Israelis are very involved. And Jimmy, is all I can say, 35 years in the Middle East, I had several close friends that were in Israeli intelligence. In fact, several of them still are. And there's a lot more going on than I can talk about or that I even know about. The Israelis are very active. They have to be. Again, they're so outnumbered. Their enemies want to destroy them. They say that all the time. You mentioned Iran. They say that. The various Sunni Muslim groups say that. So Israel's got to keep on top of it. And, of course, the Egyptians are stepping up their actions against the terror groups that are based in Sinai as well. So between the two, they want to keep them on the run. They want to keep them looking up, looking down, and looking sideways at all times.
David, in December, President Trump declared that Jerusalem is the political capital of the Jewish people. The world went up in total opposition to what he had to say. And some of the ramifications of that, now the United Kingdom's foreign minister, Boris Johnson, is telling the PLO and then passing along the information to the prime minister that they're going to have to share Jerusalem with the Palestinian people. Prime minister says absolutely not. Boy, that's an almost absolute, isn't it?
It sounds like it, Jimmy. And again, the issue of Jerusalem is the hot-button issue. It's been that way for, well, thousands of years, really. It's not a recent thing, but it certainly is at the heart of the Arab-Israeli dispute, or the Israeli-Muslim dispute, if you will. And the essence is, as I've shared several times on your program, that the capture of Jerusalem by ancient Muslim forces seemed to verify the claims made in the Quran that Islam's the final faith, final revelation, Muhammad the greatest prophet. He's given it all to the Muslims, and especially Arab Muslims. So that's what gaining Jerusalem said to them. Losing Jerusalem, what does that say? It says maybe those claims aren't true. Maybe Islam is not the final revelation from on high, these sorts of things. So that struggle goes on. The nations get involved, Jerry, but it's not going to make a difference. The Palestinians and the Muslims are never going to give up their claims and their struggle for Jerusalem as part of any peace deal. They're just not. Nor are the Jewish people ever going to abandon willingly what is their holiest city and has been for 3,000 years. That's just the bottom line. And, you know, what President Trump says and where the embassies are and who goes where and what the ambassadors do, et cetera, is kind of a sideshow. That's the main unchangeable problem, as it were, or issue here. And, of course, the Bible tells us that Jerusalem would be a stumbling stone to the nations, and Israel's existence would be a light to the nations. And those nations that don't like light very much want to see it destroyed, and that struggle is going to continue.
Very interesting thought there. Those nations that don't like light are going to have a real struggle. Hey, there's a report coming from the PLO that they are moving to cut ties with Israel. Now, somebody just hearing that headline may not understand. Who's the PLO, real quickly, and what difference is it going to make if they do cut ties with Israel?
Well, the PLO is the Palestine Liberation Organization, and it's the parent of the Palestinian Authority, really. Most of the members of the Palestinian Authority are also PLO members. Of course, Yasser Arafat was the founding leader of that for many decades. And, Jimmy, again, they have their bottom lines that they're not going to really negotiate over. We've seen the Trump administration way cut back ties with the Palestinians. We have this Senate legislation to cut off funding for the Palestinian Authority because they've been taking U.S. tax dollars and turning them back over to terrorist families, the families of those that kill Jews in cold blood, and not just Jews. In this case, it was an American tourist in Israel that was killed, and so the law is named after him. A lot happening, Jimmy. I haven't seen this much movement in the Middle East in 3.5 decades. It's hard to keep up, but the relations are very strained right now between the U.S. and the Palestinians, and that affects everything else because the Palestinians are very much the center of this whole conflict that's going on. I think the White House has made a wise decision there. This money cannot be abused like that. And the president, of course, it's part of his overall policy that the U.S. will not just hand out money anymore all over the world to Pakistan and these other countries and then see them go against our interests or actually use that money against American people. And that's what's been happening to a certain extent with the Palestinians, and that's what's being stopped.
This next issue I want to address you with, if you will, David, is from one of the political leaders. He was the former, or is actually, the former head of the Labor Party, one of the political parties, Herzog. And he says that if the Labor Party wins this next election, they will offer the Temple Mount to the Saudis. That's Saudi Arabia. I mean, I can't hardly believe that. Is that a viable possibility?
Well, I think what he's thinking is that officially now Jordan, the country just north of Saudi Arabia, is supposed to be sort of the guardian of the Muslim interests at the Temple Mount. And so the Jordanians have been doing for many, many years. I think he's thinking, well, we just need a bigger power, a stronger Muslim power to do this. I don't think he's implying that, Saudi forces or troops or security forces or anything like that would be sent to the Temple Mount, but just that the Saudis would have the official control in a political way on the Muslim side of things, working with the Israelis. It's an interesting sign, Jimmy, another sign of the growing ties between Israel and Saudi Arabia. We've been talking about that the past couple months. There's definitely sharing of intelligence going on, and Of course, this has to do mainly with the shared enemy in Iran and Hezbollah and the others that are associated with them. But I don't think that's probably ever going to happen. And Mr. Herzog is coming up with some campaign topics to get things going and to draw attention to himself. But I don't think it's going to change. I think Jordan will still remain the guardians on the Muslim side of things, and that's probably not going to change.
Very interesting. Even in the Middle East, politics makes strange bedfellows. And because of that, that's why we have David Dolan with his Middle East news update on a weekly basis, coming to give us insight into what's really happening and see how this fits into the end time scenario found in the Word of God. David, excellent report. Thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to Shahram Hadi, and he was born in Iran. I'm going to ask him, is it possible these young people could overthrow the state of Iran? We'll come right back with that right here on Prophecy Today.